As we got up today, what was top of mind? I think Mr. Bannon was alluding to it a bit in the opening prayer. But there was this pleasant little New England town that was turned upside down yesterday. When a young man who was described as intelligent, quiet, somewhat goth, went on a premeditated shooting spree, first killing his mother, who apparently was very involved in his life, and then proceeded to a kindergarten through fourth grade school where she had worked, and went on a killing spree of 26 people there, of which 20 were the children. As we watched the story unfold yesterday and parts of today, I'm sure that we and the nation began to empathize with the parents. Many of us here are parents, and it was easy for us to do. When the parents learned of the school shooting, and then they learned that it was at the school that their child attends, what were the thoughts that would go through our mind? No doubt the ones that went through their mind. I'm sure that they called, tried to. Then they raced over, I'm sure without regard for many things. I'm sure their heart was pounding like it never had before, and that these surreal thoughts were flashing through their head, probably in a way that they couldn't even interpret. Upon arriving at the school, some of them found their children to their relief, and then perhaps then turned to the other parents, the other children. And then the parents who arrived who didn't find their children, what was going through their mind? Were they hoping? I'm sure they were. Everybody, whenever they come into a situation like that, is going to hope for the best. Perhaps their child was still hiding in a closet, just hadn't been found yet. Maybe they ran into the surrounding trees to escape. But the reality of it was that the parents of 20 children would have their lives forever changed because of this evil act. And with the rest of the world, they'd all be asking one question, the same question that's on the whole nation's lips, and that is, why? Why did this happen? And going through some of the articles, the titles, put forth suppositions such as meds, shooter suffered from personality disorder, in quotations. Obviously not well, another title was. Intelligent and shy. He played video games. Let me read this from the Wikipedia, more about why they think some of these things may have happened. It says, the massacre sparked debate over gun control laws, availability of firearms within the United States, and gun violence involving youths. Much discussion also centered on the nature of high school cliques, subcultures, bullying, in addition to the influence of violent movies and video games in American society. The shooting resulted in an increased emphasis on school security, moral panic aimed at goth culture, social outcasts, gun culture, the use of pharmaceutical antidepressants by teenagers, teenage internet use, and violent video games. Well, Wikipedia is fast, and they already have an article already on there from yesterday's school massacre, but that one wasn't from yesterday's school massacre, though it could have been. That one was from Columbine back in 99, Columbine here in Colorado. Those same questions asked then were asked 5 years ago in the massacre over at Virginia Tech over in 2007, which doesn't seem like it's already been 5 years since that happened. So I woke up this morning and looking through the articles, and I saw one, 10 shot, four of them not adults. So what's your first thought when you hear something like that? In terms of, we heard different things yesterday. I'm going, what was this, an older article, or what's going on? Did somebody mess something up or what? Well, it doesn't even apply. It wasn't about the shooting yesterday. It wasn't about the massacre. It was about what happened in Chicago overnight. So, again, we're looking at these things and we're going, it's not just here. It's not just this one isolated incident. As I'm writing this sermonette, it's hard to keep up with all the things that are continuing to happen. As I was finishing up, hospital shooting this morning. I think the police shot a man coming out of the elevator that confronted him with a gun. Two of them, I think, were shot. Vegas hotel, two dead by a shooting. Again, this is not like, obviously, isolated incidents. These things are going on now all the time. And the question still remains, and it's the question that, again, looking at the CNN homepage, the top of the page, it asks the question twice. Why? Why? Well, another article said that there was good motive found, good evidence found for the motive. This is where they're at now. Again, everybody's trying to find out why. When they come across this motive, whatever it is, they may find what the precipitating reason was, the last reason for this act, but not everything that built up to it. If they find out there was an argument with four of the staffers over something at the school, then we have to ask ourselves, is that really the reason? If we were involved in an argument with four staffers at your mother's school, would you go and grab a gun and go on a shooting spree? And I think most people, if not nearly all, would say no, you don't do that. We don't go postal. Another term indicative of the era that we live in. What does that mean? What does going postal mean? It's something that's come about because of incidents like this. We shouldn't even have a term like that. So what's the real root cause that everyone keeps missing and that allows these things to continue to happen? What is the answer to why this happened? So we can look at a whole bunch of other ancillary facts to the case in terms of what was a contributing factor of guns and gun control and the fact that, these types of guns were never ever made, or some of them were never made for sport, and they were never made for a lot of things that they get used for. And what are they doing in his hands? Why did his mom apparently order them? Did she order them for her, for her own protection? Or did she order them from him because he wanted them? And again, we're going to be inundated with a whole bunch of things. What about TV? The violence of TV. The parenting that was involved. Schools that raised the children in a secular way as opposed to parents raising children. These are all contributing factors, there's no doubt. These things are symptomatic, though, of the real problem. We have to go back to the beginning. God gave us freedom of choice. He gave us free moral agency, as we call it. In the very beginning, there were the two trees. It was that Adam was given a chance to choose between what? The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, God gave them that choice, and they chose poorly. And because of that, God severely limited access to the tree of life, the Holy Spirit. And since then, bad choices have been made. Bad choices upon bad choices. Starting from the beginning, from the very beginning of man, all the way through up until now, and will continue to be for as long as conditions like this exist. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you two choices, just like Adam and Eve. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, another way to put it. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God again, an effect of living this way of life, of choosing life and blessing, that you may obey his voice. That's something else you need to do in terms of choosing the right way. That you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Because of those things, we can have a blessed and long life if we decide to follow the one way and not the other. So after rejecting God, the world was left with one main influence: Satan, demonic influences. The world does not recognize, and to a large degree, that there is even a devil. And if they do, they do not give him full credit for what he can and does. And because they're not aware of this, they're not on guard against it. Because they don't open their Bibles, they don't read their Bibles, they don't believe what it says, and because they make excuses and say, oh, that's symbolic, or that's Old Testament, or you know, that's done away with, or that's not pertinent or germane to today. They do not see. They do not really believe in this powerful being. It's interesting how we grow up with phrases and idioms. The devil made me do it. I grew up with that. And another one is like, what possessed him to do that? Again, as a kid growing up before the church, you come up and it's just a phrase. You know, what made him do that? But now, whenever you say something like that, you go, what possessed him to do that? It gives it new meaning. And we, because of our understanding, start to see the reality of this, and that it's not just a saying, that it's a reality of the life. Let me read what this one guy wrote in his kind of diary slash suicide note before he did the Texas school massacre, which goes back to about, I think it's 1966. He says, I do not quite understand what it is that compels me to type this letter. Perhaps it's to leave some vague reason for the actions I have recently performed. I do not really understand myself these days. I am supposed to be an average, reasonable, intelligent young man. He was an engineer student. However, lately, I cannot recall when it started, I have been a victim of many unusual and irrational thoughts. And then he goes on to commit one of the largest school massacres in history. Where do thoughts like that come from? Some people think that they're, you know, conjured up in your imagination and they just come from nowhere. Matthew 4, verses 8 through 10. God is not the God of this world. This is a foreign concept to the people of this world. Let's look at what happened here in the temptation, in one of the temptations. In Matthew 4, beginning verse 8, it says, again, the devil took him up into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you, all the kingdoms of the world, this whole world, I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, those aren't yours to give to me. Well, I'm sorry, that's not what he said. He said, go, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He didn't say it wasn't his to give, because you can go through the Bible, and here's this what I'm talking about. These things are in the Bible. I was looking through John and came across three places in John where it says, talks about Satan being the ruler of this world. That's just in John. There's many places where it talks about this. Christ didn't even address the fact, because it was the truth. This was Satan's world to give. The world cannot believe this. They don't believe this. Try telling them sometime. Tell them that Satan is the God of this world, that he's the one that's manipulating it, using it, and in a sense controlling it to the degree that the true God lets him. But he is still the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. We'll look at the greatest trick that Satan has ever played and why the world does not believe that God, that the God of this world is the devil, that he is the one influencing people. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, in whom the God, and again it puts a little G because it's obvious by the context who the God is that they're talking about, the God of this world has blinded the minds. He has blinded, he has tricked them into believing, among other things, that he doesn't even exist. He's blinded the minds of the unbelieving ones, the non-Christians, people who are not true Christians, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn on them. What is the gospel of Christ? I mean, it's the good news of the coming kingdom of God, but it's the entire, you know, as it were, anthology of everything in the Bible. It is the entire word of God, all the commands of God, everything that God wants us to do. This is all part of this coming government of God. And he has blinded their minds to that they cannot see that. They cannot understand the words written in the Bible. So because they're in this condition, they do not see. They don't see the real cause of yesterday's massacre. And so as long as man continues to make the choices that lead to death, because the way of man is not in him to guide himself, and it leads eventually and ultimately to death, lawlessness will continue to abound. The events of yesterday, the ongoing events of last night, today, this morning, and tomorrow are going to continue to happen. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. We once made the same wrong choices, the same bad choices, and we made them for the same reason. We were blind. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and he has made you alive who were once dead in trespasses and sins. That was the life that we led until Christ, you know, called us out through God, or God through Christ called us out, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. You walked in the world the same way everybody else has walked in this world, and the people that we've been talking about in the news. According to the prince of the power of the air, in the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. This is the power by which Satan still influences mankind today, the same way that he has influenced them for the nearly 6,000 years that man has been on earth, is by this spirit that he goes and influences people. And then verse 3, among whom we also had our way of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, just as they were and are. We were the same. And it's that same power and ability that's been employed from the time, since before the two trees, but at the time of the two trees on mankind, and has continued to be employed on mankind because man has rejected God and gone the other way. But there's good news. There is another power, the one that we talked about from the tree of life. It's mightier, and it preceded the power that Satan has, and is going to soon be made available to all mankind, even the adults and children that were killed, and even the killer. And then the world will change. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. Whenever we follow God's way, whenever we have His Spirit working in us, things will be different. These things that we've talked about today will no longer happen. They will be, for the most part, a thing of the past. And look at the condition that will eventually exist when everyone goes God's way. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And what will the result be? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No one will any longer cry because their child was killed prematurely or in a heinous fashion. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things, the things which we talked about today, have passed away. Brethren, after the event of yesterday and the events of today and the events of tomorrow, let's pray more diligently that God will soon return.